10 months after Jamie's death, the 2006 football season began. The Colts played peerless football, winning their first 9 games and finishing the year 12-4. They won their first playoff game and then beat the Baltimore Ravens for the divisional title. At that point, they were one step away from the Super Bowl, playing for the conference championship, a game that Dungy had lost 8 times before. The matchup occurred on January 21, 2007, against the New England Patriots, the same team that had snuffed out the Colts' Super Bowl aspirations twice. The Colts started the game strong, but before the first half ended, they began falling apart. Players were afraid of making mistakes or so eager to get past the final Super Bowl hurdle that they lost track of where they were supposed to be focusing. They stopped relying on their habits and started thinking too much. Sloppy tackling led to turnovers. One of Peyton Manning's passes was intercepted and returned for a touchdown. Their opponents, the Patriots, pulled ahead 21-3. No team in the history of the NFL had ever overcome so big a deficit in a conference championship. Dungy's team, once again, was going to lose. At halftime, the team filed into the locker room, and Dungy asked everyone to gather around. The noise from the stadium filtered through the closed doors, but inside, everyone was quiet. Dungy looked at his players. "They had to believe," he said. "We faced this same situation, against the same team in 2003, Dungy told them. In that game, they had come within 1 yard of winning. 1 yard. "Get your sword ready, because this time we're going to win. This is our game. It's our time." The Colts came out in the second half and started playing as they had in every preceding game. They stayed focused on their cues and habits. They carefully executed the plays they had spent the past 5 years practicing until they had become automatic. Their offense, on the opening drive, ground out 76 yards over 14 plays and scored a touchdown. Then, 3 minutes after taking the next possession, they scored again. As the fourth quarter wound down, the teams traded points. The Colts tied the game, but never managed to pull ahead. With 3 minutes 49 seconds left in the game, the Patriots scored, putting Dungy's players at a 3-point disadvantage, 34-31. The Colts got the ball and began driving down the field. They moved 70 yards in 19 seconds and crossed into the end zone. For the first time, the Colts had the lead, 38-34. There were now 60 seconds left on the clock. If Dungy's team could stop the Patriots from scoring a touchdown, the Colts would win. 60 seconds is an eternity in football. The Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady, had scored touchdowns in far less time. Sure enough, within seconds of the start of play, Brady moved his team halfway down the field. With 17 seconds remaining, the Patriots were within striking distance, poised for a final big play that would hand Dungy another defeat and crush, yet again, his team's Super Bowl dreams. As the Patriots approached the line of scrimmage, the Colts' defense went into their stances. Marlon Jackson, a Colts cornerback, stood 10 yards back from the line. He looked at his cues, the width of the gaps between the Patriot linemen and the depth of the running back's stance. Both told him this was going to be a passing play. Tom Brady, the Patriots' quarterback, took the snap and dropped back to pass. Jackson was already moving. Brady cocked his arm and heaved the ball. His intended target was a Patriot receiver 22 yards away, wide open, near the middle of the field. If the receiver caught the ball, it was likely he could make it close to the end zone or score a touchdown. The football flew through the air. Jackson, the Colts' cornerback, was already running at an angle, following his habits. He rushed past the receiver's right shoulder, cutting in front of him just as the ball arrived. Jackson plucked the ball out of the air for an interception, ran a few more steps, and then slid to the ground, hugging the ball to his chest. The whole play had taken less than 5 seconds. The game was over. Dungy and the Colts had won. 2 weeks later, they won the Super Bowl. There are dozens of reasons that might explain why the Colts finally became champions that year. Maybe they got lucky. Maybe it was just their time. But Dungy's players say it's because they believed. And because that belief made everything they had learned, all the routines they had practiced until they became automatic, stick, even at the most stressful moments. We're proud to have won this championship for our leader, Coach Dungy, Peyton Manning told the crowd afterward, cradling the Lombardi Trophy. Dungy turned to his wife. "We did it," he said. How do habits change? There is, unfortunately, no specific set of steps guaranteed to work for every person. We know that a habit cannot be eradicated. It must, instead, be replaced. And we know that habits are most malleable when the golden rule of habit change is applied. If we keep the same cue and the same reward, a new routine can be inserted. But that's not enough. For a habit to stay changed, people must believe change is possible. And most often, that belief only emerges with the help of a group. If you want to quit smoking, figure out a different routine that will satisfy the cravings filled by cigarettes. Then, find a support group, a collection of other former smokers, or a community that will help you believe you can stay away from nicotine. And use that group when you feel you might stumble. If you want to lose weight, study your habits to determine why you really leave your desk for a snack each day. And then find someone else to take a walk with you to gossip with at their desk rather than in the cafeteria, a group that tracks weight loss goals together, or someone who also wants to keep a stock of apples rather than chips nearby. The evidence is clear. If you want to change a habit, you must find an alternative routine, and your odds of success go up dramatically when you commit to changing as part of a group. Belief is essential, and it grows out of a communal experience, even if that community is only as large as 2 people. We know that change can happen. Alcoholics can stop drinking. Smokers can quit puffing. Perennial losers can become champions. You can stop biting your nails or snacking at work, yelling at your kids, staying up all night, or worrying over small concerns. And as scientists have discovered, it's not just individual lives that can shift when habits are tended to. It's also companies, organizations, and communities, as the next chapters explain.